no one on earth believes that, mate. Christ.
Maybe that's why you have liver issues.
I'm saying that's water.
No, no, my liver will live forever. Water. In fact, if they ever cremate me, I'll probably burn for a week.
Yeah, there'd be a strange green blue hue coming out of the crematorium for a year.
I'll probably think that they've actually gone under the Pope.
Before the religion takes hold. Hello, welcome to the Big Tech Show. We're here to discuss all the big news that's gone on, all the stuff that's happened. We've got a really good show tonight. It'll be a real good party in the house because James Rickards has driven down from the northeast of England, a.k.a. Telford, to come and be here because he's bought his speaker back off me.
Yes.
He was missing it so much.
Did you know what?
He made me an offer. I couldn't refuse.
Do you know, I think we can all admit to being massive tech heads, can't we?
Okay.
And there's just times in your life when you give a piece of tech away or you sell a piece of tech and you generally miss it out of your life and you try other things to fill that gap and nothing quite gets there. I'm getting all emotional about it, Ewan. Look at me.
Yeah, so I basically extorted him. I told him how much it was and he had to come and get it. I wasn't going to post it either for that price.
Yeah, the deal is you get in your car so late at night.
He's driven an hour to come and pick his speaker up. That's how much he loves it. But I felt bad, so I gave him an £80 bracket to go with it. Because I can't use the £80 bracket anyway if I didn't. So,
so I've come off good, but thank you for inviting me.
Don't tell him
It's that. Lovely to be here.
Joining me to discuss the week in tech, all the fab stuff that's gone on. Fantastic panel. Starting us off in Austria with new employment contract. Dude, it's Patrice. How's it going, buddy?
Doing really well. It's been a really cool week. We fixed a couple of things on the BTN side, like the bash page and like the stream is apparently better. So it's been a cool week.
The stream is apparently better. Go on, explain.
Well, I had to fix an issue where like the stream broke and I accidentally, I still don't know how, fixed the stream.
Accidentally on purpose.
We have an absolutely fantastic Slicker Snot stream thanks to Patrice, maybe. Maybe. It's not certain. It just might be.
Yeah, it might just be today.
It might be. Don't we don't know. That. It's working and we're not going to breathe and we're not going to mention it too much in case it just stops working. So,
yeah, we're not going to touch it.
No, we're not touching it. Excellent. Next to him, it's our man in Denver, Boulder. I always get those wrong. Why do I always get that bloody wrong? Our man in Boulder, it's Jeff. I'll throw myself on his name as well now.
Oh. Well, okay. I don't have a problem with you saying Denver instead of Boulder. I mean, when you look at the distance from where you are to where I am, saying Denver or Boulder, it might as well be the same place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For an Englishman, that's not a bad... Actually, my geography of America is not that bad.
No, I mean, the fact that that you know that Denver and Boulder are different places...
But they're in the same
that's
state.
Better than a lot of people.
Yeah, I know they're in the same state as well.
So even a step above most people.
Thanks for making me feel better, Jeff. That's you all over there, isn't it? It's like you sit on the inside, he's going, cretin. But on the outside, he's saying, yeah, Ewan's great. He's really cool. But he'd get off, he'd put the phone down tonight and I'd go to Angela, cretin.
Oh, I didn't realize that I was leaving my camera on.
Yeah,
camera, mic.
That poker face course isn't going well, mate.
Yeah, I know. I need to work on that.
Next to him, Howard. I hope you've got a note, mate. Where the bloody hell have you been?
Work, busy, family, busy, everything busy.
Excellent. Now, you know we only invite you on for one reason, don't you?
Uh-oh.
Remind me what this reason is again, because I don't remember. It's been so long.
We want to find out how Auntie Pamela is.
She's fine. Oh. Not coming around this Christmas, but she's good.
I think I've got this fantasy in my head about Auntie Pamela because I've never met her. It's just a fictional character in my head. I've created this thing that it's she's Amazonian.
No, not Amazonian.
She's short.
No, she's not actually. She's tall.
You see, I'm right.
Yeah. Okay, well, she's tall. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, she's tall. She's tall.
Lithe, beautiful woman in my head.
Yes.
How are you?
I'll let her know. I'm good.
Excellent. So you've been working.
You've been working. Glad to be back on the show.
Good. We're glad to have you.
At least for the time being.
Oh, what's that, a threat? You're not coming back again? I'll be here as long as you don't piss me off.
No, because I always get work or somebody just stops my plans, don't they? So, yeah.
You need to have a word, mate. Have a word.
Try to.
Friday nights are sacrosanct. Friday nights are big nights.
Macho, yeah, well, Friday nights are going out nights, aren't they, really?
No, not for us, because we've got no friends.
And we're too old.
Yeah,
I have friends. I have loads of friends.
Yeah, clubs are too noisy these days.
I've got friends as long as they drive over to see me, but I'm buggered if I'm going to go home and see him. Talking of which, Mr. Rickards is here from Telford. How you doing, buddy?
I'm very well. It's lovely to be here. I forget how long it's been since I've been on any show. But being a full-time foster dad now, it's busy life.
I'm so glad you're here, because I've got a huge wedge in my pocket now. And a speaker, and I've got rid of
somebody.
And I've got rid of the speaker.
I did not touch
it.
I've got not that kind of wedge. I've got a huge speaker that I wasn't using that you're now taking back.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's life's good. Being a dad all over again. My boys are 25 and 22, and I've even got a grandson. So suddenly having two very small girls at the age of 2 and 3. It's like rejuvenated me again as a person. You almost got like a second go at,
changed. Yeah, but I think you look shagged.
I am knackered. These kids don't know the clocks went forward or backwards. They're still...
Exactly.
I am very tired. But you know what? It is, without doubt, the best job I've ever had in my life. And
For it, of course.
Well, we do. We do get paid for it. It's more of a sort of allowance to make sure... You know, the kids have got clothes, because obviously when we God bless them, when they come to us, quite literally just the clothes in the back, it was July, so it was so quite summery, and you had to kind of go out and just buy all their winter clothes, coats, shoes, boots, all that sort of stuff.
So Matt Winch has typed in the chat room, you are doing a brilliant job when fostering, you are a star.
Oh, God bless her.
You know what she means by that, though? You know what it's a euphemism for, don't you?
I don't know.
You'd rather you than me.
Well, here's a message to everybody. I mean, you know, being in this business as it is, there isn't enough people to be doing it. And if you've got the room and you've got that sort of space in your life, it's honestly, I promise you, it gives you back 100%. I don't care how tired I look. I love it. I generally do. But it does mean that I can't do great things like this.
This message was brought to you by the British Fostering Society.
Yeah.
Other fostering societies are available.
Does that mean you can start calling Madonna?
Well,
no, because he didn't. Oh, and you're saying that you left from Telford towards Birmingham to pick the child up, so you did go abroad.
To get his passport. Get it.
Yeah, Birmingham, man, it's got his own troubles, but that's what cities are like, right?
Yeah, and of course Muller's here as well.
Oh, yep, I'm here.
Here with his decaying skin, according to someone in the chat room. Enjoying himself. You had a rather nice fetching meal that didn't stink out the place this week, which I'd rather say.
Chicken chow mein
instead of holy crap curry that stank. And I came in on Monday and I was like gagging on it. I had to put three joss sticks up. Incense.
Yeah, that's what they were.
Incense.
You've made a big mistake anyway.
Why? What have I done wrong now?
You've forgotten something.
What's that?
You forgot the Denver or Boulder weather report.
No, that's only in the Max show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we don't do it in the big show.
Oh, don't we do it?
No, we don't do it in the big show.
I thought people on the big show might be interested.
Version. I was getting confused.
It's sunny.
Sunny? Oh. I just thought people
sunny
might...
Sunny and 66 Fahrenheit.
I thought people might be interested in it.
Fahrenheit.
I'm not going to go.
Okay.
The Week in Tech. Who's got the first story for us then? Who is going to shatter the earth and crack it in the chat room?
So
and Howard, look at that, fast-fingered Howard. Yeah, get in there, Gil. Talk us about it.
Oh, yes.
Right, so Motorola's released their flip phone.
No, it's good.
You're having
foldable smartphone. Seems as if everybody's trying to get one in. But the interesting thing for me was the cost.
It's expensive. And it's 2-year-old.
Well, to be fair, though, look at the screen.
Screen looks lovely.
No, but what's the key part of the screen? Bearing in mind some people might be on audio. What's the key part of the screen, Howard, bearing the fact that people might be on audio? It's a flip phone, but...
It's a flip phone.
But it's a single screen. It's a folding screen. That's why it's so expensive.
Oops.
It's a Razer V3. with a replacement screen, effectively. Yes.
Yep.
Would that be fair?
Yeah. Does it actually?
Yeah,
work?
I think that's so. Yeah, it's slightly wider, isn't it, as well, than the original.
Oh, why? What have I done?
And it's got another display on the back. Well.
Yeah, it's got it's got a display on the as the clamshell closes, it has a display on the front.
Well, the Razer V3 did have that little panel, didn't it, where you could see the number that was calling and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this one you can see a bit more. So it looks, I mean, I like it, to be quite honest, but I was just looking at the cost thinking that.
So what is the cost?
Yeah. I think it's something like about 1,000, is it 14, either 1,500 or 2,000?
I think it's MKHB did a thing. I think it was 1,400.
It's like crazy amount of money. 1,500 in the US.
It was
1,500 in the US then. Yeah.
I mean, that's still cheaper than, was it Samsung's?
Yeah, but it's
like
Okay. So I think Samsung's was the one that was 2,000.
Yeah.
Is a folding screen worth that much to you?
No.
No, there you go. There's the answer.
The trouble is, it's
and also the functionality, it hasn't got that much compared to all the other phones. So you wonder who they think they're actually going to market this to.
Oh, this will fly off.
I mean, if you think about it, like the current foldable phones, like who's buying them? It's for the most part, it's like journalists and like tech enthusiasts, like people who. Like, just want to see whether it's worth it and want to write about it and test it. And, I mean, it's a niche market, which is probably why it is that expensive. Like, it's just not many people are going to buy it.
No, I disagree. This is going to fly off the shelves.
Oh, I don't see that. No.
I've seen online, there's loads of buzz about this. I think it's going to be the next one that will fly, because this one, the processor's 2 years old. And it's on an old version of Android as well.
Yeah.
And the camera's not too clever in it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Muller, that it's eventually going to fly off the shelves. I think it is the next thing in smartphones. It's too early, like technology-wise. It's not there yet. Give it 2 years or so.
Well, it looks like they've solved the creasing of the thing. They've just shown the mechanism of how it folded on the video. Mm. And they've actually done quite a clever job there by recessing it so that it gets a nice gentle curve without cracking the LED.
It also moves down
LCD.
And goes underneath the neck of the phone.
Yes.
If you watch some of the other videos, so it literally slides down. It's really clever, the mechanism.
Mm.
And you can start the camera, can't you, and do all sorts of things with a flick of your wrist.
I think the thing is that the actual form factor is about just a tiny bit bigger than the iPhone sort of 11, really. So it's just a tiny tad taller. So you've got to really be thinking about, who really wants this tech for something that's only, the only gimmick really is that it folds and gives you half that space in your pocket.
Yeah.
And I think when you're looking at a price point, you're thinking, I look cool for a couple of days, and then once everybody's seen it, they've seen it. So maybe, as Patrice said, this technology is great. It's great to see it now. But what will be good is it maybe in 2 years' time when we see this sort of phone for $300-$400 or pounds if you're in the UK, I think it'll be very interesting, to be giving it to your friends and family be picking it up then. But certainly at this price point, I think they're limiting their audience. That's the price you pay, right?
I think it's quite interesting Howard, go on, yeah.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I know my parents would have loved this phone, but with the cost that it's sitting at, it's just not something that they'd be willing to shelve that much money for.
Yeah.
I mean, I know plenty of people who would like to have a small device with a big screen, which is it's usually an issue. Like, you can either have a small device or a big screen, but like this would solve it. So I can definitely see some people being interested in it, but unfortunately I think it's more the people that also don't want to spend as much money for it.
It's interesting that they've gone really retro with the keyboard and stuff like that. They made it look like the Razer V3. And I think
that's one of the display options for it.
Yeah. But I think that they might just be a year, maybe 2 years too late. Because America loved a flip phone.
Yeah.
Even when it went to single screens, every American wanted a flip phone because it was Star Trek.
And we all wanted the Razer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everyone wanted the Razer V3. And it was a great, great phone. And I think if they'd have brought this out 2 years older with the flip screen, America wouldn't be out of the culture of a flip phone. But I think they're just past that culture where they don't really care about it anymore. So this is going to trigger a few old hard diehards of my era, perhaps. But I think in real terms, I think they've probably left it a bit late to get people younger.
Possibly. Now, granted, I have a very narrow perspective here because of the people that I know, the people that are my friends. In the United States, I'm seeing a lot of millennial age people in my circles that would throw money down on this phone today, except that they think it's priced too high.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they would throw away their Galaxy, whatever. They would throw away their iPhone, and they would jump on this thing.
I think in the United States, we still have
a strong love affair with flip phones.
Yeah, it's retro, and I mean, retro is cool.
So it's a nice big screen. I could definitely see it. It's a nice big screen as well. It is a big screen.
It's the screen that's making me think. My parents would definitely love this. Mm.
Comments in the chat room. Looks better than the Samsung folding phone, says Deepan.
Oh, yeah,
not
definitely.
Sure, I'm sold on the need for a foldable phone as yet. As yet, says Ben. So it might go a bit further. If they made a cheaper version with two separate screens inside, that might sell as well. Wes is saying, just sorry, I'll pass on it straight away. GB Redneck's a no straight away, but he's a no on anything. He's a tight kit. And Batwin has just failed to miss the opportunity to point out that she's not as old as me. Okay, so what? Apropos nothing.
Bob Beach.
And also, I'm not interested in Android phones, says Bob. Bar Bob. Bar Humbug Bob.
Bar Humbug. Lovely.
Oh, you know, the Mac show, right? Bob left at the cool things.
He does, doesn't he? Because he's just saying, look, I've got everything I want in my life. I don't need anything else. Don't tell me about it.
So, Harrow, this is your story, so you get the final say on this. Is this a hit or a miss, girl?
I think it's going to be a hit for anyone that wants something retro. But overall, I think it's going to be a miss.
Yeah. Do you think like this, because this is version one, it'll screw the pooch, but it might get better and this could catch on eventually or not?
I think it might get better, but I still think it'll be a niche market. If they want a bigger niche, not necessarily a big market, but a bigger niche, I think they still have to bring the price down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much money. I mean, if you look at what you get from an iPhone at 1200 pounds, you know, for a 256 gigabyte, that's massive compared to what you're getting out of this at the same, you know, loads more. James, you're not into it?
No, well, I said it. I think, you know, I think MKHB, when he did his review of it, you know, he was a young kid when this phone came out, when, you know, obviously when we all had him in our back pockets, and it was a great design then, and people, like I said, we wanted it, we wanted to find out that, but I think we've just gone past it, and to sort of echo what you said there, Ewan, is it's great tech, it's great to see that they can do this now with a screen and not have that sort of ridge in there anymore. I think it's just it's great. It's paving the way for what will be the future of mobile foldable phones, and I think it certainly goes a good way to showing us the future, but not just yet at that price point. Yes cheaper, but not for me.
You're all Apple fanboys, that's why you all believe that. I think this will play out themselves.
I think the iPhone 11 represents the best value for money in
this one's going to be it's only in America at the moment. Once they go elsewhere, particularly in Europe is where Android's more, you know, more popular. It's going to it's going to fly
at that price though.
Not at that price, though.
Yeah.
I think this opens the door for future flip phones to sell, future foldable smartphones to sell better.
Yeah.
It's definitely good for Motorola that they went in a different direction. Like, everybody else seems to go with the, let's make the phone screen even bigger, let's make an even bigger phone and just fold it. And Motorola is saying, no, like, let's go smaller, let's use this technology to do something cool with it. And I think that, like I said, maybe too expensive now, but actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. How much are we going to want to wipe off the price in order to purchase this? What would separate you from, forget the Android thing, you know, let's assume it's ruining your favorite OS. What's the price got to do to make you buy it?
$700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Good ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Jeff.
$700-$800.
Yeah.
cool.
You all pay 1,200 quid for an Apple phone.
No, iPhone 11, mate. Look at it. Two cameras. I'm not shy. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
No, but what you're getting from an iPhone compared to what you're getting from this is immeasurably different.
Got extra storage. You can put unlimited storage in. It's got a SIM slot. SD card slot.
Yeah.
So you're not being shafted there. I think when...
You said it's a two-year-old processor.
Well, it is, yeah, but that's because they've been designing this for a while. But I reckon if they probably won't reissue this one in Europe. Probably wait for the next one. Because I know it's had lots of good press in on YouTube, so I reckon they're already updating it. And there could be another one out by first quarter, second quarter next year.
Yeah, fair enough. Good story, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, who's next?
Ooh. Patrice is smiling. Look at that face. I'm poised to meet a cut and paste. I love it.
No, I have to go on the rules, and the rules say Jeff won. His story's just above yours. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead, mate.
Okay. So Google, they have their new gaming, cloud gaming platform, Stadia. And we're already seeing a lot of skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of comments that Stadia is probably just going to flop. So my feeling is that there will be no middle ground for Stadia. It's either going to do really well or it is going to flop. And if it does really well, I mean, Google has a lot of money. They can afford to stick in this game for a while and see if Stadia takes off. But on the other hand, have we hit a saturation point already with cloud game subscription services?
I personally, as a gamer from day dot, I was excited about this story. Stadia being run by the best sort of company platform to do something like this. But when you actually start looking at the intricacies of Stadia as a platform, they want you to spend $60 on Red Dead Redemption 2. We already know that game's been around for a while already, and it's already in the sort of bargain basement. You can probably pick it up for sort of £20, $20. But Stadia's actually asking you to spend $60 premium price. You're not getting a digital download. You're not owning a physical piece of media. You're getting access to that game for $60. So the way I see it is the fact that the platform is absolutely right, but their pricing structure is way off whack. And I don't know whether somebody would pay $60 right now for what I think, when you look at the lineup of games at the moment, Red Dead Redemption for $60 it's not good enough. The games need to be, if I'm not getting anything other than being able to stream that game, and it's not like a AAA title that's just come out, I don't think you're going to get people, especially Assassin's Creed, these aren't new games. They are, lineup is already, upset quite.
Can I just throw the devil's advocate statement in here early on? But yes. the fact of you holding physical media makes no odds at all in a modern environment. You have only ever had a license.
Sure.
You've never owned.
Yeah.
So you have a license for the disc, and if they disable the servers, you're knackered anyway.
Yeah.
Because without a handshake, they don't work.
But remember, you still get...
That's a notional principle now.
But remember, when you buy a physical disc, you're still getting, depending on the game, obviously, is a single-player version of that game that you can play if the internet is on or off in your house.
But no, because after a period of days, if you don't get a handshake on the servers, it'll cripple it. Because you won't get an update, because it knows it's supposed to be updated, but there is no update, so it'll cripple it. They can cripple it in a heartbeat.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like the idea of owning is notional. It's never existed properly, and it certainly doesn't exist now.
I mean, if you take that argument away, but look at the pricing structure, it's not great, is it?
Well, the Batwing says they had me at Destiny 2, which I thought was out on disc, to be honest, but a long time ago.
Yeah, but Destiny 2, you can't play it with PC owners, the looks of it. It's a closed platform. So what's the point?
I think I agree with you. Like, it's With Google, I mean, they either succeed and it's really successful, or like, I mean, we know plenty of Google things and Google services that like linger around and Google doesn't really do anything with them, and then they kill them off eventually because they don't care about them. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely see that with the gaming platform as well, where like Google simply doesn't really throw anything, like any weight behind it, and it just dies a more or less slow death.
You know, I hadn't thought about the trust issue with Google, because they certainly do have that track record of rolling products out and then either just killing them outright or letting them die that slow, painful death.
You know Google's CVP statement, don't you? It's Google. Bored now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I think the thing is, I mean, obviously next year is going to be big for PlayStation, big for Xbox. They're all talking about on-cloud gaming, and actually, you know, it's not about the piece of hardware on your TV anymore. It's about how good your internet connection is and how we're going to get that media to you. So Stadia's sort of come at the forefront of all this and said, look, we're here first and this is what we're doing. But I think when Xbox have that announcement next year, I think we'll all have our eyes open. I know they had an event only the other day, Xbox, and quite a few journalists are already playing Gears 5 on their Google phones, you know. And they said, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. It's the good of using an Xbox controller. And if you're in that ecosystem already and you've already got those sort of hundreds of games which are AAA titles, you know, I think they're gonna smash it. I'm not sure about PlayStation, but I'm sure they won't be far behind what Xbox. This is interesting to watch as a platform, but I think when the big hitters come out next year, we may be playing games very differently.
The people will go, the novelty value will be there, but then eventually they'll just go, you know, there'll be an outside shot from Xbox and PlayStation that will just kill it.
Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Because they have the catalog already.
And maybe that's why Google have got into it, because they know they can coin it now and then it'll be done. And that's that. They can go bought and move on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I had friends who spent quite a bit of money up front. Is it the Founders Edition? You know, and so they've already paid a lot of money up front to get the controller and the stickers and, hey, I'm a founder of this. And within the first sort of week of it coming around, it already feels like it's not met. 12 games, you know, for a platform. You know, iOS has more games than that.
Yeah.
Mind you, how's Arcade doing? I'm not sure.
They just added it.
It's up to 100
more games a few days ago.
Yeah.
It's up to 100.
And they've only got 5 or 6 people actually paying for it.
Yeah, I'll be cancelling it soon because I haven't played it and it's not good enough. I'd rather spend the $4.99 on Apple TV, which I've got to say is killing it at the moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it.
But yeah, anyway, Stadia. Interesting.
How are any thoughts here? Because you've been rather quiet on this one.
I'm not really much of a gamer, so.
Okay.
Not really, but I'd be skeptical because it's Google, but mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing I would say on that.
So power, who cares?
Mic drop.
Excellent. This could be interesting to see how this goes, but is the list of games compelling or not, though?
No.
Yeah, that's the key. It's got to be the key, hasn't it?
If you're a gamer and you're looking to a platform like this, which is offering the uniqueness of, you know, being able to use any browser to access that game and carry on playing across platforms, be it your smart TV and your mobile phone and things like that, you're finished with these games that are already out. You've played them all.
I'm dead deep into Steam, and Steam's had a nice update recently. It looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Steam and Origin are massive.
Yeah.
Deep Pan has said, have you noticed that Google have never released an advent calendar? It's because they can't sign up to that level of commitment.
It is true.
I'd say this is such a shame because they have the power to pull this off. They've got the power to do it and certainly the money. I just don't understand the way they've approached it, as this is the big launch. Is it 19th of November? It's actually live, isn't it? We are now 15th, so it's going to go live the 19th, and I think the figures will speak for themselves when it comes around.
Mm.
Cool. Yeah, good point. Patrice, your story.
Yeah, my story is about another subscription, another streaming service. So Disney Plus just launched, and obviously there were a lot of opinions about it. And amongst them is one of the Netflix executives, their CEO actually, the chief content officer, Ted Sandros, who basically dismissed Disney and says, well, it's kind of the same content and nothing changes. And I'm kind of wondering, is that just hubris of like the biggest player in the game? Which, I mean, we've seen a lot in the past where that might not always play out that well. Or is he right? And like Disney Plus is really nothing new and nothing interesting.
See, I think there's an interesting question here about how you view your online content provider, whether they are a single source or whether you see it as a diversification to make sure you've at least got something to watch, because that's my view on it. I sit there, and why have I got Netflix? Well, because they release a series of such and such, and then I binge it, and I've got nothing to watch. But luckily, Amazon Prime have released Jack Ryan, and then that'll be finished. And luckily, there'll be season three of something on Netflix. And then when that's binged, luckily, Grand Tour's going to be out, season four. And then when that's finished, luckily, Apple have got something worth watching, even though they're dribbling it out. The fact that Disney Plus is coming, I will probably buy it, but I will. It doesn't obfuscate everything else, and I don't think any TV service will do any more with it.
No, I think we're going to be juggling services for the rest of our lives, I think.
He was going to have his little...
Yes. I think the difference is there's a different approach. I mean, Netflix kind of has muddied the waters with their own Netflix content. But for the most part, Netflix is trying to be the streaming service, like have everything for everyone. So basically you're going into Netflix and you never leave it. And as you said, Ewan, and I think a lot of people confirm that, me included, that's not the case. I rarely ever go into Netflix nowadays because like everything is everywhere else and Netflix doesn't have anything to offer for me. So there is a risk personally. I think there's a risk for Netflix too, that they might simply be irrelevant because there are 17 other streaming services that have their own content, like Apple Plus, for example, Apple TV Plus.
Okay. That's sort of view, but it's not my view, but it's a view. Yeah.
I don't think Netflix is ever going to go away. It'll be part of our staple for many years to come. I think what Disney does do is bring all those films that, again, me especially as a parent of young children, you know, it brings that whole catalogue of Disney films. So right now in my where I am in my life, Disney Plus would work phenomenally well. My wife's always asking me, oh, go and get the DVDs out. Well, that's the last thing I want to be doing is dragging a DVD player around connected to the TV. You know, and then obviously probably next year we'll get a couple of 13-year-olds who won't be interested in Disney, but more interested in Marvel films, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Disney, there's definitely room in my life for Disney Plus and Netflix, but Netflix is always going to be there. I mean, I've not even done my trial with Apple TV Plus yet because I just don't have the time to invest in watching a whole bunch of new shows, which obviously will be new to me and to many people out there. Netflix fills a gap, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, but I'm very excited about Disney Plus.
Great point from Deepan. Yeah. He says Netflix are panicking. I can see a lot of people cancelling their Netflix subscription to try out Disney Plus, but here's the key part, because I don't think there will be, but I agree with him here. There is no overhead to leaving a service and then coming back later. Because so literally, if you invest yourself, you know, if I get all the Cheetos in and all the Coke that I need, and I sit in my underpants for 3 months, I could absolutely kill everything that's on Netflix, and it had nothing of any benefit for me there, probably for another 3 to 6 months. So if you do that kind of binge watching, then yeah, you can exhaust Netflix, but I can't. And I sit down with Sharon, we sit and we'll watch a series of summer, and we'll do 2 to 3 episodes a night. And then after 3 or 4 nights, the whole thing's done. And then we scout around again. Oh, let's try that. Yeah, let's do that. And we don't, you know, and we bought all 9 seasons of, or 7 seasons or whatever it is, of Game of Thrones. And I hated it after the 3rd episode, which was a real waste of 49 quid. If I could give it away, I would.
Yeah, it's a shame we can't give it, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, could give it away.
I'll give you a fiver for it.
Batwinch says, save yourself on the Cheeto stains, use chopsticks.
What madness.
That's a good idea.
Probably takes longer as well, doesn't it? So.
You touched on something that I'm already doing, and I have a feeling this is a growing pattern. I'm what I'm calling myself a serial subscriber. Mm-hmm. So I'll sign up for like CBS All Access to watch whatever show is there after all the episodes are out. And then once I've watched all of that, then I cancel the subscription. And then I subscribe to the next service that has the series that I want to watch, finish it, and then cancel it and move on to the next one. And I just keep going around like that. It's a pain in the ass, but it's a lot better than paying an insane amount of money every month for all the different services.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Could you see a time in the future where they will be savvy to this and actually you'll get sort of money off for the length of time you're actually with the service? Because that would make, if I was in charge of Netflix now and all these like Apple TV Plus and yes, Disney Plus, if you drop your subscription for a month, you lose a certain amount of points and therefore, you know, your subscription stays the same amount.
Your first month's $30.
Perfect. And then as the months keep going, it gets a little bit cheaper till you reach that kind of the golden. And I, as sort of somebody with that sort of service, that would be what I'd be looking to do. But obviously, remember, we've got Apple rumored doing bundles as well now with Apple Music. And
I just like one place to go to.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to have that.
No.
I really don't. No. Like I said, I think I'm so excited about Disney Plus. We're not going to get it till in the UK anyway for another 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More than that, right?
It's next year.
Like,
no, it's next April? Year, March. Yeah, it's March next year.
Yeah.
Is it March?
So it's more than 3 months.
What was interesting is... It's 1080p content, but HDR, right? Am I right? Is that right? So, and they're saying that's better than actually 4K content because of the actual color saturation, etc. Is that? Has anybody actually got it? Jeff, you got it? Or Patrice, you've had a look at this content?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Ah, okay.
Well, Patrice is in Austria, so he's not going to get it until the Queen dies in the UK.
we'll see about that.
He's going to get Apple Pay before he gets Disney Plus.
Now, for me,
Auntie Pamela first.
Yeah, Auntie Pamela will visit and come on the show before Patrice gets
come on the show before you get your Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah. Go on, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
He hates it not being serious.
I do want
he?
To meet Auntie Pamela seriously, but
I mate, I'll tell you, she's a gorgeous, lithe, tall, good-looking woman.
It's going to be a wonderful first meeting. I have no doubt.
I think so too.
So no, I haven't signed up for Disney Plus or Apple TV Plus yet because Man in the High Castle, the final season, just started on Amazon.
Hang on. Sorry, I've got a terrible yawn.
That's all right.
How do you take a short story and turn it into four seasons?
It's better than the short story.
Philip
K. Dick wrote some really great content that's a setup for live action. I feel like almost everything he wrote is it's just like, here's the framework. Now go do something cool with it on television. Also, what's the other one I'm part with your Watchmen. So I figure I need to wrap up those and then I'll get actually probably Disney Plus because I want to watch Mandalorian.
So Man in the High Castle for me, midway through the second season, I stopped watching because it felt like watching Heroes. It just felt...
See, I liked Heroes. So I liked Heroes.
Heroes for the first two seasons. And then after that, it just got boring.
Yeah, because that was boring.
Oh, come on. I've had enough now. Scylla can bugger off. I don't want to do it anymore. That's exactly how it felt. And the thing is, the cinematography was like that as well. It was so badly shot. It was cheap, badly shot TV. I couldn't watch it. And there's going to be people giving me hate mail. I don't care. I couldn't watch it. It was crap. Sorry, Jeff.
That's all right.
Opinions are the source of the world. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's okay. I am not going to feel bad at all when I'm sitting on my couch watching Man in the High Castle.
Batwin saying, wow, you made it through the first series. I can't get into Stranger Things either or GOT.
Mm-hmm. I only got through the first episode of Game of Thrones, and my feeling was if I really wanted to watch Dallas and Middle Earth, then this is the show for me, but no. Yeah.
Hobbit says, Patrice, 200... You know you're on the podcast and you can actually talk, Patrice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Hobbit, 250-plus pages turned into many movies. It suddenly turned into two, wasn't it, The Hobbit?
Yeah, I said it turned into too many movies.
Two, as in T-double-O. Yeah, right, got you.
Yes.
Bob Beach agrees about Heroes. Good God. Good Heroes. God. You never watched Heroes?
No, I have. I watched the first three seasons. I thought they were brilliant, but then apparently there's been lots more since.
Yeah, but it was shit after two.
Yeah, it was shit after two. Yep.
Save the cheerleader, shave the world.
You know that Heroes was bad because Howard's never sworn on this show before.
Yeah, there you go. No, it was bad. Started off good and then it was just like, what are you doing?
Correction from Bob, three Hobbit movies.
Yeah,
it was, yeah.
That's about two too many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all subjective. I totally get it. But I've got to say, I agree with the Fawlty Towers principle.
What, six is enough?
No, two series. Stop.
That's Ricky
Gervais. And Ricky Gervais has followed that with The Office. And he was actually talking in Seinfeld about the comedians and cars getting coffee. And he was saying about, you just get to the point where you know the guy's going to react, so you can't make it funny anymore. But the Americans have kept trolling it and trolling it and trolling it, and it's a shit show now as a result.
Yeah.
Two seasons, stop. Fawlty Towers principle.
I love Fawlty Towers.
Absolutely.
Fawlty Towers is brilliant.
I think Netflix is here to stay, and I don't think it's going to suffer too. It'll have people that come in and come out, and there will be people who cancel it to go to Disney Plus. But when you look at it, Disney Plus is an awful lot kid-oriented.
Really is.
And geek-oriented. And you'll watch those. And the thing is, you're watching films that you probably already own on Apple TV, and you're also watching films that you know back-to-back and heart, you know, inside out by heart.
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm a big believer in my iTunes library. Films is quite huge. John Wick 3 was the last purchase I made. Just incredible. But if there's not a 4K symbol next to it in iTunes, I'm not buying it. And unfortunately, with all Marvel films, there isn't because of Disney Plus holding on to that HDR business. And
I couldn't care less.
I just want to see it. I could.
I don't care. Do you know what? I watch films on Apple TV, and I don't know whether I'm watching a 4K or 1080.
Jesus, you got bad telly. What telly are you looking it through then? Seriously?
A 4K? Seiko 4K?
Well, I'm telling you now.
I sat with Ellis yesterday, and he came in from school. He got on a half day.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, do you want to watch a film together? Because I'm home early. He said, yeah. So we sat down, and we watched Apocalypto.
Oh, good film.
A great film. It's and really we were talking about decay of society, and that's then. And then in the end, he drew this is like Hunger Games. Yeah, yes, it's very like Hunger Games. It's very good. Well spotted, son. So we went through it all, and at the end of it, we sat there and went, great film. And I said, what resolution was that? No clue.
No.
Absolutely no clue, because it's a great film. And then afterwards, I said, let's watch Rambo, First Blood. We're not watching the rest, we're just watching First Blood, because Blood is a quality movie.
It's so good.
It is. It was still a great film, and really we sat to the end of that, and like, that was a really good film. Resolution, it wasn't even close to being 1080.
Yes,
but I didn't care after 10 minutes.
No.
Because it's a good film, and that's the thing, is you can't get away from the fact that good films are good films. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
I think that when you're like... Personally, when I build my library up, I think Apple, when 4K came out, they automatically upgraded all your content
you get
straight
it free.
Away, which I thought was a really good move because I wasn't buying any films at that point. And when they actually said, we'll do it at 4K, that's when I actually started buying films. And sort of every birthday and Christmas, my kids get me iTunes vouchers, and that's what I jumped to straight away.
Yeah, no.
It's great.
Good films, good film.
Yeah.
Who's giving up their Netflix subscription in order to buy Disney Plus?
I haven't got Netflix.
Additional.
I haven't got Netflix.
I might simply because my family is not watching Netflix much either. So, but Disney, they would definitely get a kick out of.
Yeah. No, I will be buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. See, the kids love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
On Netflix, that's just they, yeah. they are. If that was a hard copy DVD, it'd be worn out by now.
That's a good life.
Somewhere there's a block on a server that Netflix runs. Someone's going, who the hell's watching all of these? We're going to change the disc again, man. Somewhere in Birmingham. What's the IP address? Don't know. It's on a VPN.
Oh, hiding behind a VPN. Hell, here's the question.
Who the hell hides from Netflix, James? Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the thing. I want to find out if I can get Disney Plus with a VPN. But I guess probably not. They're very clever.
They'll block you.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it, am I?
No.
I might sign back onto Netflix just to watch The Irishman. Well, you can just buy it. You can rent it for $4.99 on Apple TV, mate. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Next story, then. Who's next?
Me.
Oh, Melissa.
I think it was me, wasn't it, anyway?
We've done everyone else's, haven't we?
That's three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Muller.
It's another phone story. This one I heard on another podcast, and I thought, this is ever so interesting. I don't suppose we'll talk about it with any sense, but...
Okay. Great story, Muller.
Well, apparently, police were seizing drug dealers' phones, and they certainly was a big thing when I was there. You know, you'd get the phone, and then you could send it off to either to the expert in the station or to... a private company, and they
with a search warrant, of course.
Oh, with all the proper paperwork in fact, yeah.
I just wanted to clear that up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just wasn't going to go through all the paperwork you have to fill out, because that's a lot of paperwork. Anyway, so you get all your data back, and then you could sort out all the contents and their contacts and try to find out where else they're doing. But the Westminster Police, and a few other police forces, were finding that they were getting gobbledygook back. And apparently the criminals have been using these special stealth SIMs. And they've been using the VoIP capability of the networks I'm going to get this word wrong. To get rid of the phone number, they could either change the phone number or stitch an innocent person.
Wow.
Or even pretend to be a phone number that's never been issued. Anyway, cut a long story short, that's what the story is all about. The fact that now the criminals are managing to hide their phone calls in the back end of these networks. And apparently they also say that famous people, politicians and all sorts might get onto these stealth SIMs. Because also, once you bought the SIM, you got no payment.
Really? Is that something?
Really?
Yeah. So I think the SIMs cost about £750 on the black market. But once you've got it, you don't get any phone bills. So if you're a heavy user, get yourself on the dark web.
This is like a dark web of SIM cards, then. This is basically the crux of the thing, right?
Well, there is a link to a paper that gives you more information, but unfortunately they want $31 for it, so I wasn't prepared to do that for a story, but...
Do sit still on the seat, Muller. It sounds like you're farting repeatedly.
I am. So it is quite a shocking thing that they can do this now.
Well, the idea of stitching someone up who's completely innocent as well. That's stitching someone up who's not involved is you know, faking your phone number to be somebody else. I mean, the police, the papers would be doing that left, right and centre. Yeah, we've got a phone call here from Boris Johnson's phone. He said... Mm. He's out a text message, and you're like, "What?
Police don't." I mean, would need more than that, though. You'd need a course, you know, several phone calls. They don't get the contents of the phone calls. Remember, they only get the phone numbers or the data, length of call, location. Technically, the call it was made from too. But so,
yeah. I mean, for me, it's not really surprising because, I mean, if you know how the whole phone system works, then, like, I mean, it's fairly obvious that this would be happening. I mean, a SIM card is literally just has more or less an identifier on it. And if you can erase that or change that or fake it or, like, put something else in, That's it. And then that identifier is like in a database, like a standard, usually a standard database like our website has, kind of. It's like there's a like a link where it's like, okay, this identifier is Ewan. So if you can change that, like, it's not hard.
No.
No. I mean, I don't know how hard it is to actually change it, but like once you have it, it's fairly simple. And like, I'm not surprised that this happened. Like it had to happen. It's an obvious thing to do.
It's obviously somebody on the inside that has the capability of creating these new databases or ones that can actually mold into different databases. That's where the clever part comes. And
yeah, if you want to link it to someone else, you need to basically get an identity or get a SIM card or get an identifier that works, is activated, but doesn't really link to a person.
I think the thing is, if somebody come to you in a pub here in England and said, hey, here's a SIM card, it costs you 100 quid, you'll never be found, make as many calls you like. Would you use it? I think most people would say no, because I want to know where my conversation's going, you know.
Mm.
And if some of these people are paying £700, then they might actually be giving them information willingly to somebody who's actually listening to every conversation. I mean, obviously, if they're drug dealers, I don't really care too much, but I'd sort of frown at anybody wanting to be able to hand over that amount of data, private phone calls, for any sort of money, really.
How would eSIMs work with this, then? Would it exploit it even more, or would it sort of reduce the number?
I'd have said no.
It's the same thing. Like, I mean, in eSIM is literally, it's the same information that was stored in a SIM card and now it's on device. Like, it's the same idea. It doesn't really change anything.
Could you have the eSIM data, that's though, to be dark?
I mean, I said the eSIM, like, is simply the same thing on the device. Like, it's just, like, there's no database for it. Like, a database is on whatever your O2 or whatever your carrier site.
Yeah.
So, like, as I said, it doesn't change anything. You just put the number that would have been on the SIM, you put it on your eSIM, and that's it, like, the identification number.
But these SIMs aren't actually using these databases. They're actually going through the back door. The way it was described on the other podcast, and they were all, it's a GSM podcast as well, so they actually knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. They're actually using the back end of these networks, so they're actually using probably the stuff that the engineers use, and where the community, probably the equipment talks to itself over distances. They put it better than that, but that's basically what they were saying it was. So this is like spare capacity, which is meant just for the network.
Yeah, for network management. It's basic. It's probably the network management stuff, like where the equipment can communicate, or where the central monitoring systems can communicate, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly how they put it. Mm-hmm. So it's literally the equipment, and also for engineers when they're out on site, can set stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think there was a case a few years ago about people doing exactly what you said about SIMs, but I think they pretty much locked that down not long ago. So this is a new fraud, which I imagine that the companies now should hopefully be looking to close.
Yeah, I mean they can try to do that. Like, I mean, this is that, like, it's ultimately anything can be hacked. So there's always a way. I mean, I've heard from cases where, like, they set up, like, citywide they're completely their own networks, and they use basically their own devices, for example. So anything is possible.
Wasn't there a TV program where they did that? Was it one of the Marvel things where they actually set up a private network using
Person of Interest, for example, did that.
That was it, yeah. Person of Interest. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a good show.
That's it. It's based, like, it has actually happened. Like, that's not fictional.
Well, we remember the story here in the Midlands that there was people going on these towers and hijacking data from cell towers, actually having collectors, you know, actually listening into phone lines from these remote towers that we have all over the UK.
the cellular data, that they're being intercepted, you know, quite easily. Quite worrying, really, where, you know, yeah. where that information goes to. But as Patrice says, it's any technology has good and plus points, and it'll always yeah. be circumnavigated mm-hmm. by somebody, you know, in such a way that will be used against you or mm-hmm. for their own purposes.
Well, don't yeah. you remember the old 2G?
The other...
Yeah. Well, do you remember the old 2G where you could literally just use a scanner? It wasn't encrypted at all.
No, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can still do that today. I mean, that's what law enforcement is doing with the stingrays. And like, I know that like those are like out in the world, like other people other than law enforcement actually can use that too.
How does it decrypt though on the fly?
Because those devices have a valid decryption key. It's basically the decryption, like it's technically very complicated, but basically the encryption is always handled or like is basically set up between your device and the cell tower. And if you pretend like your stingray pretends to be a cell tower, then you have the decryption key. And all you need to make sure is that you have a decryption key or an decryption key that your device, like your phone, will accept. And like if you have that, then it's easy. Mm. So that's what law enforcement is doing. Like they do that in like certain situations.
Don't think they can do that here. That would.
I don't know. I think the UK is doing that too. I think that's legal. Mm. Like, I mean, there are, and I think in most countries there are limits when they are allowed to do that. But I think they still do.
That's some...
definitely in the US. Like, I definitely know, like US, it's widely used.
It's the end of that story.
Interesting. Yeah, that's the end of that story.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yes. I mean, if I interject very quickly with a quick story.
It's never stopped you before.
Thanks very much. I mean, so as a foster carer, I've been asked to do Keeping Children Safe Online course for the mums and the dads who are foster carers. Because obviously kids come into people's houses and, you know, they bring their own technology with them. These mums and dads need to know how it works and how to control it. So I've been building this course up to actually do on this Tuesday, but the first time I'm actually going to put it out. But one of the things I've actually highlighted to parents, which I think is an ongoing or will be an ongoing concern, is the deep fake, where we are with deep fake. So everybody familiar with deep fake and how that... Everybody? Yeah. So it's probably old news for us. And if you've been into it for a while, it probably is old news. But actually, what's scary is how quickly and easily that technology is being made more readily available. We know the people use at the moment have these big machines and they've got thousands of photographs of very well-known actors and they can do this. But I'm trying to tell the mums and dads to be aware that this technology is going to be sort of on our phone soon. And we're close to getting it. And... you know, the kids these days, they use Instagram and they take a photograph of their face from every angle. Their selfies are here, they tilt their head there, here's me sad, here's me happy. So these databases are able for these other people to grab these images of our kids, you know, and build these models based on their actual facial features. And this is incredibly scary stuff. And I'm trying to make sure that the parents are aware that, you know, when the kids are posting their photographs, that it can be used, you know, for bad purposes. And also just to be mindful, even if it's a photograph of their kid, their foster kid, or even their own children doing something they shouldn't be, just be aware that this technology exists and be mindful that, you know, people can manipulate photographs easier every day. I mean, look at, you know, we've now got Photoshop on an iPad now, you know.
Deep fake,
it's everywhere, but the fact that you can get obviously the sounds. And I just think it's something that, you know, we as technology boffins need to be sort of talking to our less tech-savvy friends and letting them know about this. And, you know, when your kid uses Instagram to take these selfies and put them everywhere, you know, that's basically a computer going, yep, I know what you look like from every angle. I know you through every emotion as well. And well, it sounds quite futuristic. When I tell people about this, they look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm saying you have to be aware that there will be an app on your phone soon that will put your face onto famous people. We can see... obviously, it's vice versa. They're moving famous people's faces to other famous people's faces. And that technology is going to be in our pocket within probably
less than a year, and it bothers me greatly that it can be used, you know, for the bad stuff. So just a puppy announcement there.
Just keep in mind, like, it would be very easy to do a deepfake for us, since, I mean, they have audio and video of us.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, since the video quality is shit on this show.
Well, actually, I am a deepfake. I'm a deepfake girl sitting here right now.
It isn't
this is Jeff Gamet's porn version.
I remember.
I would have come up with better graphics then.
I'll definitely be much better looking on my version of myself. That's for sure. But I remember Adobe kind of pulled that software that did the voice within, didn't it? They used you could talk into it, and it basically rearranged the words, and your voice would come out as saying something completely different.
Voice editing.
Yeah. Did you see that live sort of demonstration?
That was last year.
Yeah, it was a while ago, right? Yeah. But again, that technology, you know, is around the corner and going to be available to kids on their phones soon. And it's crazy. You know, if you say these words, rearrange them, it sounds completely different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a bit of a public announcement, but something I feel that is growing in popularity. We see more of it. And the fact that you're nodding your head and agreeing with me that you've seen it and you've heard of it. But I can tell you now, if you went to the school gates of any sort of school and you said the word deepfake, they'd probably look at you and think, oh, somebody from the future. From the future's trying to scare me.
I thought it was deep thought.
It's what, sorry?
Deep thought.
Deep thought.
Yeah. The answer's 43. Yeah. I mean,
the question is, can we, like, even if we try, can we even prevent it? Like, I mean, it's basically possible to prevent, like, a photo being taken of you, or any kind of photo being taken of you, because I mean, simply there's so much, like, I mean, there's so many cameras out there, like, and you can use any photo materials for deepfakes, like, even if it was, like, whatever, you're in an airport and, like, that footage somehow leaked out, that, like, would be enough. So I don't know whether you can prevent it. I think we will have to deal with that on a, like, society level, and figure out a way how we can deal with deepfakes.
Sure. I just think that a lot of parents who see Facebook as a news reel, I generally mean that, they see Facebook as a news sort of sharing device.
Yeah.
They saw their child on a video doing something is just make them aware that this is probably a conversation you need to have, and don't presume just because they've seen it on Facebook, it's actually the real deal. And that's it really, isn't it? It's kind of just getting that message out there that we know Photoshop's been around, of course it has. But moving video is something completely different that you think that maybe you can't fake it, but actually you can, you know, and that technology is going to get cleverer, cheaper, and easier to get hold of. But you're right, it's just a conversation that we need to be having, really, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're posting that Tom Cruise video in the chat room, and I've got to say, I thought that was shit.
It was bad.
It was. I saw it and I watched it for like 10 seconds. I'm like, that ain't Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
It was so badly done. As far as deep fakes go, it is not even close. I've seen some of the deep fake stuff that you're not supposed to watch, and I'm like, bloody hell, that's good.
Yeah.
It's only when their face turns sideways that you kind of get the realization it's not Emma Watson having sex.
Yeah. TV shows are picking that up.
It was, like, for science.
It is definitely.
Yeah, I was researching for the show. Yeah, absolutely.
Research.
Yeah.
That was so punctuated perfectly, Hour. Yeah, righto, Rankin, you dirty old bastard. this show, we always do porn just before the sponsor reads.
That's your fault.
Why?
Who's in charge of the show? Jesus, not us.
I want to point out that I didn't start the porn discussion.
You and did.
No, someone else mentioned. Oh, the chat room mentioned deepfake, didn't they? Did they?
No, he did.
My conversation started, but yeah.
It's not. It's even worse now because I got the sponsor's logo up. So let's really shut up, please. Our sponsors are TSO Host. They are fantastic. They pick up all the bandwidth. They give us two massive servers to churn out all this rubbish. And we'd be lost without them. We say it every week, but it's the truth. If you'd like to support them and you want some hosting stuff from them, then you can buy it and you'll get 20% off because they love our BTN listeners. So BTN20 is the offer code. We'll get you 20% off your hosting services. If you would like WordPress, they've got some amazing deals at the moment. 80% off your hosting with WordPress. They've got basic web pages. that are, I say basic, but they're actually pretty damn good. 100,000 pay views, 15 gig of storage, 3 hosted websites, and a free domain name for £12 a year. Not month, a year. And they've got e-commerce sites for £60 a year. That's 80% off. So massive, massive value at the moment for WordPress with them. Just brilliant. Sign up for them. But what we really would like more than anything is for you to give them brand recognition. So go onto your social media platform of choice and type in thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because that's what we want from them. That's all we need from you. Just a simple message on Twitter each week keeps us on the air. Simple as that. So please, please do that, because we do really value them. The other people that we've got that have come on board that are really valuable to us are IMN Max. These guys are great. They're based in Birmingham. Mo, Joe and Callum, and they are absolutely superb. They dived in this afternoon and came on the Mac show in the chat room and chucking comments in. There was loads of questions about can you do this and what happens if, and can you get the can you desolder the board and put new stuff on, and they were answering all the questions on the fly during the show. Absolutely brilliant. They do repair of your Mac, so my iPhone had a wonderful cracked digitizer which they then replaced and gave me a brand new one. It looks absolutely amazing now. I haven't got to apologize for it looking like crap. Also, they repair your Macs. And the thing is, it's like, will you sit still, Muller, for Christ's sake? Also, they repair your Mac. So they'll go down to the level of soldering the board. So if your Logic board has got a very simple problem, just a bit of double solder's gone dry, Apple won't touch it because it's a legacy item or something like that, give it to them. They've got a microscope. They'll get over the top and they'll re-solder the whole board for you so that it works. So it'll extend the life of your equipment. They've also got a refurbishment program. So they will take in old Macs. So if you've got an old Mac, they may buy it off you. So this is one of theirs. It's a 2012 MacBook Pro. End of life, most definitely. Apple aren't going to touch it. So they stripped out the hard drive. They stuck an SSD in it. They put RAM in it to boost it up a little bit. And that is a perfectly good machine to give to the kids to watch a bit of Netflix or Disney Plus, or to do their homework on. Basically, it'll run the, you know, the decent stuff for pages and numbers and that kind of thing. So it'll do. It'll be perfectly fine for the kids. And that'll be £300. Thank you very much. You can't get better than that. It's really, really cool. The other thing that they've got then as well is data recovery. And I spoke to Mo last week. I was talking to him, one of the business partners there, and he was saying, yeah, they had a lady came down. She was in floods of tears, lost all the family photos, couldn't get them back. And she thought that she'd started writing again, so she was going to end up having overwritten the data. But it took them a while, but they got all of the photos back and all the data back as well as. And they're right here in Birmingham, simple as. Jeff made a great point earlier on. He said, so if I'm traveling and I come over to the UK and I got a problem with Mac, can I bring it to you and will you fix it? Yep, not a problem. Absolutely no trouble. If it's in warranty, obviously go to the Apple store. Not interested. But if you've got an older machine or something that's out of warranty, these guys will fix it for you. They're absolutely awesome and they're touchable. I know these guys personally. They are right here in Birmingham. And if you get any kind of issue with them, which you definitely won't, but we can talk to them and we'll get it resolved for you. And every repair that they do, 12-month warranty. Regardless. Wow. So you've got an old machine, it's knackered, good. It's outside legacy. If they make the repair, they will warranty that repair for 12 months. So absolutely awesome bunch. Again, get yourself out on the Twitters and the socials and say thanks at IMN Max for supporting at British Tech, because we do value them. They are incredibly good and important to us. Good bunch.
I've just tweeted it. There you go.
Thanks, man.
Live.
Thanks, man.
On the show.
Time to do the cool thing. Start us off, Patrice.
All right. Since we talked about streaming, streaming video or streaming services, and I'm kind of struggling to find something that I could pick today, I'm going to pick Apple TV Plus and the show C, because I am in really enjoying it. And it's something that you can watch even if you're not in the Apple ecosystem, because what most people don't know is it is available on a bunch of TVs like Samsung, I think Vizio, Roku, I think has the TV app now. And you can also just watch it in your browser. And C personally is, I mean, it started out kind of rough. We talked about it in the last couple of Mac shows, and I don't want to repeat that. But it started out kind of rough, but it really grabbed me, and it's really good and really interesting. And It's just a really well-produced show with like a really great cast, and like a lot of people dismissed it at first and thought it was kind of boring, but it really grew on me. So Apple TV Plus and C, and Apple TV Plus is $4.99 if you did not buy an Apple device recently. Otherwise, it's free.
I think there's a lot of interesting shows. I'm not going to say C's crap, but it's got a lot to do to hook me yet. But I'm not. It's not bad enough for me to not want to watch it anymore. There's some compelling elements to it. For All Mankind, I am absolutely hooked on, and the morning show is getting better rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's doing quite well. So, yeah, Apple TV Plus seconded for me, mate. I really thought I've had to pay for it because I haven't got a device in the last 12 months. So. Oh, I think I have, but it hasn't applied it. It bought me an iPhone.
It would be if you bought a device in September 10th.
This year. Yeah, no, it won't be. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Good pick, mate. I like those. I like all of that stuff. Superb. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have something that isn't new, but it's wonderfully awesome. And it's
my life.
It's my cyber tool from Victorinox. Okay, so what makes this so cool is that it was designed with all the tools you need to disassemble and rebuild a computer. The exception, of course, is that it doesn't have the little star head that you need for Apple devices. But you know, it has an amazing collection of driver tips. And each one of these is double-sided, so you know, tons of tools there. Of course, the all-important corkscrew for your bottle of wine, but also a tiny little screwdriver so I can fix my hinges on my glasses. All right, the one tool that I'll point out that no one ever seems to know what it's for is this. Being in Colorado, I totally get it. This is actually a hook for pulling tight the laces on your hard-sided hiking boots that you would use for summit assaults in the winter.
I thought it was for getting stones out of your horse's hoof.
Yeah, I thought that. I've got this same one.
Yeah, you British people are so quaint. But, I mean, anyhow, so it has tons of incredibly useful tools on it and has been a lifesaver for me over the years. And even though it's close to $100 on Amazon, it is totally worth it for everything that I get.
There you go. If you want to know all of the cool things that we've got here, especially if you missed a Batwinch and you want to know what you're getting for Christmas, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 15th of November. Bloody hell, Batwinch. What are you doing? Jeez. Like that wasn't going to happen.
You can see why the Swiss don't get involved in wars, because that's all the soldiers have.
Yeah, no.
They don't get a gun or anything.
Oh, but mate, they're lethal at hand-to-hand corkscrewing.
Oh, fun trivia about this too. Mm-hmm. For a while, I don't think it's the case anymore. But for a while, if you were an astronaut going to the International Space Station, you were issued one of these to have with you on the space station all the time. Space toolkit in
that's
your pocket.
Cool.
Wow,
that's good.
Just like Chris Hadfield used.
I've got one, but it's just about like 10 years old, and I've lost some of the screwdriver bits. So have you got your screwdriver bits spare?
You can get the replacement bits.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to look at that then.
Yeah.
Cool. $99 new. That's not cheap.
Get them cheaper if you're in Europe and abroad. I think I paid about 20 quid in Italy.
Yeah, but how long ago?
1974, exactly.
1870. It was just after decimalisation and just before we went in the EU.
Patrice can dip across the border and get them from Switzerland and export them to us.
There you go, Patrice. There's your cue to invade Switzerland.
There you go.
I'll do it. It's not too far.
It's only a quick stomp, isn't it?
stomp.
We're going to get letters.
What's a letter?
Jesus. It's like an email. It's like an email, but you print it out first and send it.
I've already got two harassment orders out against listeners.
Only two?
Only two. But two.
Did well, isn't he?
I think one's expired now. Must have done.
Yeah.
Howard, what have you got for us, Missy?
I've got something. So last night I went on an adventure game, real life adventure game around London.
All right.
Quite fun. So if you're into puzzles and enjoy adventure games or treasure hunt type games, then this one's for you. Unfortunately, this one is in London, but they do have similar ones around the world, just not by this specific company. But yeah, it takes about 2 hours. Your team is about 5 people. There was 4 of us on the team. And we started at the National Theatre. I can't tell you where the final destination is.
Oh, right.
But it was good. Because you get the clues come through as a text message.
Okay.
On your phone, and you do have points where you can stop at certain pubs or bars. So that was quite good, yeah. And you meet other people playing, and if you're quite a large group, they sort of split you up into teams that play against each other. So we bumped into a few of those last night as well. So it was great.
I just didn't finish it though.
Yeah, that's why she can't.
Well, we got offered free drinks if we would partner with another team, but one of my friends is very competitive and she wasn't having any of it.
No, the only reason she's not letting on where you end up is not because it's a big secret for the whole adventure game, it's because she can't bloody remember.
Oh no, I can. I was driving yesterday, so I didn't, only had one drink.
Okay. Yeah. It's not as funny though, Howard.
No.
Well done, mate. That's lovely. Is it expensive?
No, it's not. I think it was £40 for the one that we played for a team. Plus so drinks. If it's 5 of you, that's what? My maths is rubbish.
£8.
£8, yeah. £8. So
excellent.
You pay 10. And I think you can book, and then you've got, I think it's between 30 and 90 days to play the game or something. So you don't have to play it immediately.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like that. Well done. Good pick, mate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you got a cool thing for us, Muller?
Yeah, mine's a quick one. So, did it paste? I wanted some new charging cable, lightning cables, and I came across these, and I bought a red one and a blue one. I bought the red one first, and I got about 5% off, and I went to buy it again, and it said, no, you've already had one of those. So I found that blue one then also came with 5% off. So I think I paid about just under £9 or just over £9. And they're about 6 foot long. They're braided and they're Apple certified and they do work with...
Are they proper Apple certified?
Proper Apple certified. They've got the chips in them, look.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely... Well, they're far cheaper than Apple's for a start off. And they're longer and they're braided. I should have brought one with me, but forgot. Really excellent. So if you need a spare cable, and I think if you click on the blue or the red ones, you might get a few percent off. That's it, really. Pretty simple one.
Cool.
We all need those cables, don't we?
£10.99, yes. So they're not cheap.
They're not cheap, but they're 6 foot long.
Apple's a 25 bog standard, aren't they?
Yeah, and they are.
I mean, for 6 feet, that's not too bad. Yeah, proper rated cables.
And they're really strong. And they might still have the offer on if you click. I can't have the offer now to the end of the month because it's told me off for trying.
It's told you off for trying?
Yeah, it says it basically. I did click on to buy another one. Flippy, now he's blinding us again.
Put it down.
Face.
Put it down, man.
Yeah, can we use that? No, they're very good.
Oh, if you want my one. Life. It's all right. I've just got the Bluetooth working on these lights.
Oh, so he was right.
Oh, my life, that's incredible. Sorry, mate. Yeah. You're good pick, mate. Good pick.
Yeah.
If pricey. But they're good.
Not pricey compared to Apple's.
No, that's fair enough. Right, mate. So I haven't got anything else to pick because I was going to go and pick it all up today, but it didn't come in time. So I've sold a load of Sony gear and got a credit note for Calumet, and I've gone in and bought a whole pile of gear, including a Bellingham bag, which I'm going to be loving. But I picked these on the Mac show. These are little tiny lights. They're called Lytra. They're by Canon, and they are LED lights that are absolutely superb. And I found out this afternoon, I hadn't realised this, that they're actually, this is me Bluetooth controlling this off my phone. I can change it. And I can change the colour temperature on it, and from blue to yellow. There you go. So there you go. There's the blue light, and then it goes back to the yellow light. It's how quick's that? That's pretty cool.
I said in person, it's actually phenomenal. The actual softness of the light is actually phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really isn't just LEDs in the box. They're actually brilliant.
Well, that's just the raw LED, but if you actually get a little diffuser to go on the top, and that just makes it instantly far better.
Yeah.
What about your retinas?
God, blind as... Absolutely, it's unearthly bright, is what that is.
It is bright. It's incredibly bright. And then there's a little one here as well, which is like a... and that's ballistically bright. And you can put it on flashing as well, so you can put it on your bike or on your helmet when you're cycling. And they're brilliant. £99 for the little one, and £230 for the... Sorry, you've got to go.
No, that's all good.
Okay.
My wife texting me.
And £230 for the £230 for the big one. But I've got to say, I'll use those. The big one here, I'll be carrying that around with me as an LED light for video work. That's definitely bright enough for a dark night and a railway line. No worries at all. Right, where can we get a hold of you?
Aren't I doing a pick?
Oh yeah, sorry Matt, I presumed that you hadn't brought one.
Well, what's this?
You brought your earphones.
Product placement, look.
Sorry, I didn't think... sorry, mate. I didn't want to put pressure on you.
It's all right. So this is... So like most people who are techno geeks, like all of us that are in this room right now, these are the Neuro headphones. You might have seen the advert on Facebook or whatever. Basically, it's been around for a year or so. This is the second iteration of the headphone, and it's very... basically, £349. Let's get out of the way. £349.
Do you want to pass it over, and I'll try and show the inside? Yeah, that's key part of it, isn't it?
So the 349. But what's interesting is this is the second generation of the headphone. So it's got they're around the ears, but also in ears. So while it looks incredibly uncomfortable, I promise you it isn't. And basically, they've just done a subscription service, so you can pay £9 a month and try them out for £9 a month, and you won't pay for them indefinitely, but you'll just be paying £9 a month. So you can actually try them.
Do you ever own them at the end of that night?
No, you don't. But what they're saying is if they bring out a new pair, you automatically get the next new pair that come out.
Right, okay.
Battery life's incredible. They blow my mind. I've actually been listening to music again. You know when you got this sort of albums you listened to when you were a kid and you kind of re-listen to them? I've been listening to old music, and they're brilliant. They're Bluetooth. They come with, obviously, 3.5mm jacks. So you can plug them into your PlayStation and all those other bits and things. But they're certainly unusual, but they actually vibrate as well. So if you do like bass, the remote, the iPhone app or the Google app will actually do a test on your ears and create a seal. It will tell you whether you've actually got a proper seal. So they're actually made to shape your ear, really. Like I said, I can't say enough good stuff about them. There's a little, if you just type in Neurophone, so it's NURANOW.com. So that's another sure. And you can try them. I've got a little code that if you use the code, I'll just post it on Twitter, that you get 10% off if you choose to buy them. But they also go secondhand for about £200 in the UK. So if you don't want to pay £349, I do what I do. I'm renting them for a month, see how I get on with them, and then probably end up picking a secondhand pair or a new pair. I'm not quite sure, but they are phenomenal. They really are. And I think...
You said there's a workaround, though, to get them cheaper, if you think...
Once you see, I'm just saying the second-hand market for one's massive.
Yeah.
Especially here in the UK, so if you're lucky enough. But you've got different ear tips within the box. It comes with a nice plush case as well. But honestly, I've had Beats, I've had Bose. I did work for Bose, and I had worked for Apple. But these have come from nowhere, and they're absolutely phenomenal. They're actually made, the design comes from Australia. And obviously, like everything else, it's built in China, but... The quality of build is incredible. But I'd say if you have opportunity, £9 a month, give it a shot. Really, really good. I love them.
Excellent. You said the price, £10 a month or £350 if you buy them outright.
Yeah, you can buy them outright for £349. Like I said, second market's good, but otherwise it's £9 a month. There's an upfront fee of a sort of £89 if you pay £9 a month, or if you pay £14, there's no upfront fee. But again, think of it as a trial. But my gosh, your ears will thank you, I promise.
Excellent.
There you go.
Good pick. Sorry, Matt, I missed
you. All right, it's fine.
Patrice, where can we get a hold of you, buddy?
Well, as always, every week here on BDN, on the Mac Show, on the Big Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey.
I am over at textexpander.com and on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet, and you can look around at most any podcast and find me.
Excellent. Madam Hauer.
You can find me on Twitter at Howie A, and also in the Slack room.
Excellent. Give my love to Auntie Pamela. Tell her
I think
of her a lot.
I will let her know.
Thank you.
She's going to come to Birmingham and hunt us down.
No, she'll hunt you down and bring you food.
Yes. See? A woman who's tall, gorgeous, and can make me even fatter.
Yeah. See, this sounds like a dream come true.
Exactly my point. You're not helping here, Howard.
Does she listen to this?
No one listens to this.
Nobody just does.
Nobody listens. No, she's listened once.
Oh, that's enough.
Yeah.
So then please apologize to her for us.
No, she's just like, oh, no, everybody knows me. It's like, yeah.
You need a picture so we can have make little masks and wear them.
Yeah, I need her to say yes. I can send her a picture, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then we could do deep fake videos. Yeah. actually on the show.
Oh, mate, I've kept this quiet, and you'll see why in a minute when I explain what it is. So we've been contacted by TSO host, and we've got a pile of stuff what we're going to do with them, like some Q&A sessions and stuff like that. But one of the things they want is host profiles. With images, and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Motley Crue.
That's the end of days.
All we need is a good photographer. Do you know one?
That's not me, mate.
No. There's no green screening to make you look good looking.
Mate, I'm not Jesus. Jesus with a camera.
Excellent.
Howard, lovely to have you, Mrs. Apologies for us.
Thank you.
Mr. Rickards, where would you be?
Yeah, you can find me publicly on at James Rickards, R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S. God, I forgot to spell my name. I'm all over Twitter just on that, at James Rickards. You'll find me on there.
You still selling your Udemy course and that stuff?
Do you know what? I am. Five a day. I've gone down from 10 a day to five a day, so it looks like I've flooded the world with motion content.
So you need another one then?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be monetizing the foster sort of how to make sure your kids are safe online. I think it's a big market. So.
Time for Here's What I Didn't Tell You in Series 1.
Yes. Here's the pro version.
All the questions left over from Series 1, but you were afraid to ask.
I'll just put that Apple put pro at the end of everything. Learning Motion 101 Pro. There you go. But no, I'm moving to the foster stuff.
No, so surely it's Learning Motion 102.
Well, to keep updating, we just need a good update.
I could do Morning Motion.
Let's not go there.
Learning
that's
Motion.
That's a very different show.
101.1.
So that's at James Rickards on Twitter. For follow me. Thank you.
Udemy on everything.
Oh, I know. We love it. Still
Learning
well.
Motion S Pro Max.
That's it. Oh, my gosh. Patrice, you've got the job. Rebrand it all. Thank you.
Oh, my life. Embarrassed now. It's not bought you a new house yet, though, has it?
I like the house I'm in. I've got a new car. I've got a Peugeot 5008 now.
Cool, because your old one fell to pieces.
Yes, got the new virtual eye cockpit. You can keep all your dials. I can change mine to anything. It's very clever.
Oh, cool.
Full LED lighting.
Excellent. And Muller, where would you be?
I'm Muller Biker on Twitter. Muller999 on Instagram. I'm in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. Is there a load of artifacts on the coverage? There's little things popping up here on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
It's only on that webcam. On the rest of it's all fine. Never mind. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram on 12 Space Media, and you can follow the network on at British Tech as well as. So there you go. Don't forget to say thanks to the sponsors. Cheers at TSO Host and at IMN Max for supporting British Tech, because we'd be lost without. We're going to be back next week as normal. Max Show at 4 p.m. and Big Show at 8 p.m. Have a great weekend, and thank you ever so much for listening to this rubbish.